And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
How's it going, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip. Nick, how's it going, man? We're on tap for week number 6 of the fantasy season.
I cannot believe how quickly time is flying, and don't forget, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And Pete, we got to get right to it, man. I know a lot of fantasy owners right now freaking out, so without further ado, we look at the waiver wire every Monday, plus much more. Happy to bring in Anna Dua. What's going on, Anna?
Glad to be back. It's been a while. I'm excited to dive into some pickups for this week.
And certainly, I think in the fantasy world, the NHL world, I call it American Thanksgiving, but that's 10 days away. We know that's sort of a buffer zone, not only in fantasy hockey, but in reality. So let's hop into it, Anna. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about this week in terms of waiver pickups, and it's like throwback the clock kind of week. You look at guys like Zucker and Thomas Tatar, like these guys are coming out of the woodshed right now.
They are. And I think with waiver wire pickups at this time of year, I'm looking at the team's trajectory. So when I look at like someone like Tatar, he's playing on the top line for the New Jersey Devils with Nico Hischier. The Devils are doing something right now. They're still second most shots in the league per game among all teams. They're allowing very few shots. They're winning games. They're on a crazy win streak. There's no stopping the New Jersey Devils. So when I'm looking at players to pick up, I'm targeting these players who are on teams that are finding success.
And hopefully for the Devils' sake, Vitek Vanacek's injury is not serious. Sounds like he's more day-to-day. That's a good thing because they have literally nothing behind him because Blackwood's also injured. They had to go to Nico Daws. That was not a good trend for them last season. But speaking of injuries, Anna, this is a rare week for us with the top 10 waiver wire pickups. We have 4 different defensemen on there, and that's largely because a major injury happened last week. Zach Werenski's out for the entire season. So it gets even worse for Columbus, right? So you're trying to go outside, but there's also one in-house replacement, Jake Bean, that we have on that list. What do you think about replacing Zach Werenski?
Jake Bean is going to be the replacement for Werenski in Columbus, I think, right now. It's what they have to work with. Werenski is such a big part of that team, so they're really going to feel his absence, but I'm really hoping that Jake Bean is at least able to produce somewhat in that role because he's going to pick up all that time Werenski played, especially on the power play. He had 2 assists, 3 shots on goal for the Blue Jackets against the New York Islanders on Saturday, so he's doing something right now. The Columbus Blue Jackets as a team, I know Nick is going to chime in on this right now, but it's a tough team to be excited about at the moment. However, the one person I would consider picking up this week is Bean because that's the only option in my head for Columbus.
Yeah, I said my piece on Columbus this year. They're finished. See you later. You lose Werenski, you're even more done. But yeah, I think Jake Bean's certainly the guy. You know what the unheralded story in all this was? Nick Blankenberg went down in the same game as Werenski. He was probably the guy to pick up next, right? They still have Juracek in the American Hockey League as well. It's just been a tire fire for Columbus. They're waiting for pasture, and we're still 6 months away, or whatever we are, from the trade deadline. Pete, as you mentioned too, another big time injury, Thomas Chabot. I said this on last week's podcast. I'm never drafting this guy again in fantasy hockey. And I won't lie, like a lot of what you said in the offseason made me draft this guy. He just disappoints me beyond belief. But Jake Sanderson, right? The silver lining, the rookie, he's finally going to get the keys to the car here, right, Pete?
Yeah, and he's had a bunch of assists already this season. A number of them have come on the power play, and that's something we were talking about all offseason pertaining to guys like Owen Power and Jake Sanderson, who are behind another guy in the pecking order. All it'll take is one injury, and especially with Ottawa, Anna, like they haven't gotten off to a great start this season despite having some offensive firepower. So if Sanderson takes the keys to the car and, you know, drives like at a high speed, like crazy, better than what Chabot was doing, I mean, he might stick in that spot for the years to come.
I was about to say that, actually. The Ottawa Senators, they're not getting things done, but they are also getting things done at the same time. They have a top 10 power play in the NHL right now. So if Jake Sanderson gets that first power play quarterback role, he was a dark horse pick for the Calder this season. Pete and I both talked about him, and I think he could really reach another level, maybe turn something around for the Senators because they're barely losing these games. I mean, they just need something to work right now because they're actually producing quite well.
Yeah, the Sens are on the precipice for me where the obituary is going to start to be written. I think I'm halfway through that. I know it's early. I just call things way too quickly. I'm usually wrong. But Anna, since we have you, let's get into the goaltending situation. Your guy, Pyotr Kochetkov, I have no faith, as you know, in Freddie Anderson. We've all established this by now, working together the last year. And number two, I have zero faith in Antti Raanta. So at some point in time, Kochetkov's going to be the guy, likely for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
He might be, to be honest. He really might be. He was a rookie goaltender for me to at least look at heading into this season. And he's just on the same situation as the New Jersey Devils with the Carolina Hurricanes, where they're setting their goalies up for success. So at this point, does it really matter who's in the crease? Because Carolina, top five in shots per game in the NHL, has some of the fewest shots allowed per game in the NHL, right up there with the New Jersey Devils. So at the end of the day, when the whole team is producing that well, does it really matter how good the goalie's doing? He can just hold his own. And I think the Carolina Hurricanes are setting up Kochetkov for success. He's done okay with the stint he's had in Carolina so far. And so I think he's going to have a good season, just given the team he's on.
And for Carolina, they also have an injury to Teuvo Teravainen. So people are looking out there on the waiver wire for different pickups. And yeah, Jason Zucker for the Pittsburgh Penguins is a guy that's been an injury risk in years past, but has had a couple of stretches throughout his career of fantasy relevance. Anna, the thing I like about Zucker, top six exposure to the Penguins. Sometimes he plays with Malkin. Sometimes he plays with Crosby. He gets hits regardless. And it's one of those streaming spots where you could pick the guy up, ride the hot hand. If he falls off a cliff or at some point or gets injured, you just cut the cord and you don't even think twice about it. But for now, let the good times roll for Pittsburgh and their offense, at least. I know they've been rocky lately, but Zucker's having a nice season, top 50 overall in standard leagues.
When you're playing in that top six for the Penguins and you're really looking at the production, you're going to get production. So even if the Penguins aren't winning those games, when you're playing with players like Evgeny Malkin, Zucker's going to see some sort of appearance on the score sheets. And we've seen that recently. He's been doing great. So I agree with Pete. He's worth picking up right now, only 16% rostered. If you want to drop him later, that's fine. But at this moment, it's a no-brainer for me to ride the Penguins wave.
I've been watching a lot of Pittsburgh games lately, and he looks like the Zucker from a couple years ago. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he was the guy producing like every game. And as you mentioned, he's playing with Malkin and Raquel. The last seven games, 3 goals, 7 points, 22 shots on goal. He seems to have the boost back in his legs too. I would certainly look at Zucker in this week for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Looking down the list, a hop, skip, and a throwaway from you guys there in New York, Philip Hedel. Is this, Anna, do you think an extension of what he did in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now?
A bit. I'm kind of cautious with Hedel right now because I think there's a lot of young talent on the New York Rangers, and I think it's very easy to get excited about them. We saw that with Lafreniere. We saw that with Kako. Hedel's doing well right now. The Rangers as a team, there are a bit of concerns I have. We've talked about how competitive the East is this year, and the Rangers have lost some games I really didn't expect them to lose. We've seen Shesterkin be a little bit shaky at times this year, and I feel like when he's not on his A game, we see a completely different Rangers team. So Hedel, once again, with Zucker, may be worth picking up right now just because he has some sort of momentum, only 13% rostered, but you can also drop him later. No worries, no loss. So I would recommend picking him up, but I would be cautious. I don't think this is going to be a player that we're going to see breaking out this year.
And it's interesting what the Rangers are doing as opposed to earlier in the season. To feed off what you were saying, Nick, they are actually playing Lafreniere with Hedel and Kako on the third line, which was a successful third unit in the playoffs last year. And they could actually, we do see sometimes third liners return fantasy value, but yeah, rounding out their top six lines, Jimmy Vesey and Julien Gauthier. So, you know, not what we expected or anticipated in the preseason when we were looking at sleepers with exposure to those big dogs, but wanted to mention that Philip Hedel leads the Rangers in points per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. So that is a little surprising that he's, I know it's based on third line usage, but there is, you know, some hidden value in Hedel, and if he was ever elevated, he could really take it to another level.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for James Dolan to do something there. I can't believe the Vultures seem to be circling on, you know, Gerard Gallant there, given all the success he's had. But again, we know with Jimmy Dolan, you just never know what's going to transpire on a daily basis, right, Anna?
You never know. And now I'm going to kind of shift the topic over to another team where I thought they would do well this season. I know some of us didn't think they would do well this season. Also in the Metropolitan Division, also have a very solid group of stars, but are underperforming, but maybe have someone to pick up on the waiver wire this week. What about the Washington Capitals? Is it too early? Nick said earlier, he jumps the gun way too early to take a look at Sonny Milano.
The mob boss, Pete.
I like Sonny. I like that he found another home. He actually had a nice season last year when he was playing with Zegras in Anaheim. And then they cut ties with him. Who knows? Maybe it's on the ice, off the ice, both.
Yeah.
I don't know. He got a look in Calgary. Now he's in Washington, the perfect spot for him right now, Nick, because they're decimated by injuries with Wilson and Oshie and Backstrom all out. Hopefully, I know Dylan Strome, people are dropping him on this Monday morning, but Sonny Milano has been productive on the second line. So hopefully he lifts up Dylan Strome. And then when they get the band back together in Washington, they can make a playoff push.
Yeah, the sports world's interesting for me. Like, as you guys referenced, Calgary got him on a PTO, and I was actually working in that market for a bit of time in the offseason. Everybody's like, oh, this is a great addition. He's a PTO. We're going to sign him. And it just didn't work out. And then he goes to Washington. All of a sudden, he's a hockey player again. And he, again, is that guy who got the Dishigan goal last year. You all forget that. A lot of people forget that. Zegras made the pass, but it was Sonny Milano, the mob boss, who tapped it in. I think he's got a lot to give. Do I think there's staying power for this type of contributions? Probably not. I think he's better suited to be a bottom six guy. But I think in terms of stopgap options, Pete, that's what you're looking at this time here when it comes to the waiver wire. I think very seldom are you going to find somebody right now that's going to be on your team for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, it's true. And it's, you know, it's important to look at how much injuries are a factor for different teams and their slow starts. Like one team, like Vancouver, I guess, doesn't have many excuses on that front.
They just stink. Yeah.
Yeah, true. So but one team I was looking at is Calgary. So they're probably getting Jonathan Huberdeau back from injury on Monday when they're in action. And their metrics are pretty strong right now. They're top five in shots on goal per game. They're third and then fifth fewest shots on goal allowed per game, 27.8 right now. So with Calgary, they only have one win in their past eight games, Anna. But is this a team that you'd be patient with? You try to keep that exposure to that team, and then at some point they're going to go on like a 10-game winning streak?
They could. I'm kind of losing a little bit of faith in the Flames. I thought they would be a bit more dominant this season. Jonathan Huberdeau is supposed to be a top five player in the NHL, and he's coming back from injury now. But even before, I wasn't seeing that out of him. I'm a bit disappointed with even Jacob Markstrom this year. I think we're trying to see some holes in the Calgary lineup, and it's just not coming together for them. There are obviously a lot of players on that team that are worth picking up for production. Nazem Kadri, Elias Lindholm. The list goes on. But as a team, do I think they could actually do some sort of 10-game run like the New Jersey Devils just did? No, I don't see that happening this year.
I disagree. I'm a believer in the Calgary Flames. I always like to temper expectations. And while I always fully admit on this podcast that I always seem to jump the gun, it's an 82-game slate. That's why I chuckled over the weekend when a family friend of mine, my cousin, actually texted me and said, Martin St. Louis is the best coach ever. The Montreal Canadiens are winning the Stanley Cup. No. It's 15 games. Relax. I know you hate to say relax to people, but you have to temper your gauge and your expectations. I think it's early. I love humanizing the situation as well, guys, when it comes to major pieces, you know, especially Huberto. That's all he knew was Florida, going to a new environment, a new organization, a new contract to live up to. I give these guys a bit of time to get acclimated. And the perfect example I bring up, Pete, is Joe Pavelski. Year one in Dallas, he was dreadful the first half of the year. Like the first 35 to 40 games, he did nothing, squat. And look what he's did ever since. So I'm going to make my calculations, my prognostications, maybe in the summer at the beach or something.
I get it. And, you know, of course, we're going to be down in Florida for the All-Star game in Sunrise.
So maybe I'll do it there.
There's one other guy going on right now. If we're talking about defenseman options out there, that's come out of nowhere, really. Nick Perbix. Anna, do you know much about this player? He's 24-year-old rookie, another hidden gem. How about a sixth round pick, 169th overall by Tampa, really producing on the pair with Mikhail Sergachev, who I know you liked a lot coming into the preseason.
It's giving me deja vu to Ross Colton. The Tampa Bay Lightning just take these players that are under the radar and they turn them into someone to watch for. And Pete, you teed me up right there. I think he's worth looking at just because he is playing with Mikhail Sergachev. And Sergachev was a player that I thought was going to break out this season. He had a phenomenal game just now, 4 points after blocking that shot on Saturday. And it looked like nothing affected him. And if he's playing with Sergachev, Perbix might be a player to watch. I don't know if he has much staying power, but if the Tampa Bay Lightning have also been kind of fluky this year, it's weird to see goalies like Shesterkin and Vasilevsky playing the way that they're playing, because all of a sudden you see holes in this team that maybe were covered up by their phenomenal performances for so long. And so the Tampa Bay Lightning lose to the Washington Capitals, then they beat the Washington Capitals. So if Perbix is a player to watch, he's a player to watch for a short time, but he might be worth picking up this week, only 1% rostered.
Yeah, I agree. It is a two-game week for Tampa, so I'd probably stay away. But you know I love fantasy names. Picture Perbix, I think, is a perfect name for having Perbix on your team. Number two, Pete, I wanted to use a bit of this episode as a therapy session. So I own Andre Vasilevsky. This guy's killing me, bud. Like, I'm in a keeper league. I always seem to be successful in this keeper league, and I'm teetering right now. I won't lie. Like, I'm on the edge where I'm sending out a league-wide email saying I'm done for the season. I'm selling. And I can't believe it's Andre Vasilevsky, the biggest reason why my team is plummeting, you know, quicker than Twitter these days. You look at the body of work, 9 of 11. He's made 11 appearances, 3 or more goals. Do I have reason for concern, Pete Jensen? That's my question.
Yeah, you do. We had this conversation at one point last year, and we reminded ourselves to leave ourselves a post-it note and say, don't draft the goalie in the first round next year. We both did it again with Shesterkin and Vasilevsky. That post-it note got lost in the shuffle, but write it in Sharpie somewhere. You know, maybe try to hold off until the second round for your goaltender, because it's very costly when you get into these down shifts, right, Anna, where you see even guys out there that have had horrible starts. Like, if you have on your roster right now Jonathan Quick, who got off to a terrible start, but now he's won like 4 of his past 5, and then someone else is sitting there with Andre Vasilevsky, like, what am I doing with my life right now? So that's kind of like one of those funny things that always happens with goaltenders, and it really frustrates you when you take a goalie in the first round.
Just to hop in real quick, I know we had a goalie run a couple of rounds later. When is too early to have the conversation about whether Ilya Sorokin is the best goalie in the NHL? Because despite highs and lows with the New York Islanders, he performs, and he performs consistently. 9.32 save percentage this season, top 10 in the league. You can't shake this guy. So is it too early right now for me to say he's better than Shesterkin and Vasilevsky?
Yeah, probably. But as a proud owner of a Vezina future for Ilya Sorokin, I'm leading this fan club. I think he's had an excellent start. I think the Islanders in general have had a pretty decent start to the season. And full credit to Michael Leboff as well for feeling highly about a Sorokin. But certainly the body of work, Pete, and again, piggybacking off full circle off this conversation, it is still relatively early. We're still 6 weeks in. Tampa always seems to do this. The better teams in the league know how to pace themselves, if that makes sense. And I think, you know, as a fantasy owner, you probably want your best activity, certainly in the second half of a fantasy season. If it doesn't happen by Christmas, see you later, Andre Vasilevsky. But I think you look at the track record and resume of some of these guys, they're going to figure it out, right, Pete?
Yeah, and also in that conversation, Jake Oettinger back from injury, lost against the Sharks on Friday, but then had a nice bounce back at Philly on Sunday. So Oettinger's also in that conversation. I think he's a top 4 goalie in the league, but yeah, the Islanders and Sorokin. The good thing about Sorokin and his Vezina chances and anything else and playoff chances for New York is, like, they're actually scoring right now. I was talking to Waiver Wire James. He's like, how is Matthew Barzal only 60-something percent rostered in fantasy? How is Brock Nelson, fresh off a 10-shot-on-goal game, Anna, on Saturday against the Jackets, only 50-something percent rostered? And then these guys also have serviceable line mates as well. So, like, I think the Islanders under Lane Lambert are actually providing more goal support in front of Sorokin than we could have expected.
Brocktober extends into Brockvember. That makes literally no sense, but the Islanders do have something going. They're a team to watch. Now, shifting over to maybe teams to avoid in terms of players people might consider picking up this next week, how do we feel about the St. Louis Blues? Ryan O'Reilly's only 37% rostered right now in fantasy. This is a player, when if I saw that last year, I'd be like, I'm absolutely picking him up. But this year, the Blues just can't find any ground, can't get anything going. Are you completely staying away from this team?
No, I'm doing the opposite. You know how I feel about contract year guys. You know how I feel about, you know, giving out participation medals 15 games into a season. I'm doing the exact same thing with the St. Louis Blues. What a gutsy victory over the weekend against the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll probably eat my words, but I just have a lot of faith in that team. We had this discussion last week, right, Pete, where it's like, of these 3 or 4 teams, who do you have belief in to get out of this? You know, and we both agreed that it was the St. Louis Blues. It's like the old Undertaker gif. They're going to come back. I think they're going to be a part of the conversation. Can I go as far as to say that they're going to be a perennial contender this season? No, but I think there's some staying power with looking at some of these guys on that roster, because I think there's some buy low opportunity, Pete.
Oh, yeah. You're never going to have a better chance than right now to pick up like a Pavel Buchnevich or trade for a Buchnevich or trade for a Tarasenko or a Robert Thomas or pick up Jordan Kyrou. in the waiver wire. We never expected him to be there after his breakout season, but these guys, at least to some extent, should provide fantasy value for the rest of the season. But looking at it big picture, like I'm looking at their top ranked players in fantasy this year. Justin Falk is their top ranked fantasy skater at number 140 in Yahoo. So it's gotten pretty bleak in St. Louis, but it only goes up from here, especially when you have a veteran laden core like they do and that has had so much success over the years.
What was it? NSYNC? Bye, 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 Anna.
That's before my time, Nick. That's before my time.
Was it NSYNC? Do we have an answer here? Was it NSYNC who sang bye, bye, bye?
It was. Yes, it was.
Okay. So, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that quite yet for the St. Louis Blues, but they have dug themselves quite a hole so far this season. But yeah, looking at some other guys, LA Kings providing a lot of offense this year. They're top 15, better half of the league in offense, which isn't always the case for LA. And we see guys like Anna, I know DFS wise, you were looking at Trevor Moore last week, and he's playing with Philip Deneau. That was a line that had a lot of success. And then the more you look at LA's roster, like Arthur Kaliev is in double digits in points this year. They have a lot of different ways to come at you. And that's the type of team that you kind of like plug in the rest of your DFS roster and fill it out with some LA Kings.
They do. Trevor Moore, 53 shots on goal so far this season. He's leading the LA Kings in that category, and he only has 2 goals on those 53 shots, but you've got to expect him to go on a scoring streak sometime soon if he's producing at this rate when there's other people on that team that he's leading in that category. Kevin Fiala boosting the top 6 for the Los Angeles Kings by just being there, boosting their power play as well. Gabriel Vilardi, we've already sung his praises many a times on this podcast, but he's having a breakout season. And Philip Deneau, he has 5 goals this year. He has 12 points, 31 shots. He's a player to watch. He's a player to watch tonight, actually, for an assist because he is playing on that line with Trevor Moore. And I think the Los Angeles Kings have a lot to work with. They just need all their pieces to come together. But talking about teams that could go on a run, I could see the Kings going on a run very, very soon and pick up some wins in a row.
And you know, I love the schedule, a 4-game week for the Los Angeles Kings. There are 5 other teams: Chicago, Columbus, Florida, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. And bye, 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 I meant bye, like B-U-Y, bye the St. Louis Blues, as opposed to bye, bye, which we're about to do right now with Anna Dua. Anna, appreciate the time, and we'll talk in a couple weeks, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Nick, one other team I wanted to talk about on the show today is the Detroit Red Wings. If Tyler Bertuzzi is nearing a return from injury, you see a lot of different sources of fantasy appeal from this group, especially Philip Ronick is on our top 10 waiver wire list this week. But Detroit has missed a lot of guys, right? Even Philip Zadina, in addition to Jacob Vrana and Tyler Bertuzzi, have missed a lot of time this year. So are you a believer in the Detroit Red Wings? And are you like making pickups right now, whether it's Bertuzzi or Hronik, that you think could have some staying power for the rest of the season?
To be honest, I think they're exactly where I thought they would be. I think to that point, Derek Lalonde has done a really good job. I think more times than not, you lose players the way they have in the first month or so of the season. You're probably going downhill quickly, but they've stayed afloat. I think the goaltending's been pretty good. Defensively, they've been pretty good. As for your question, I think now comes a time where maybe I start to fade Detroit just a bit, because I think the cream does come to the top, as Macho Man used to say back in the day. It does rise, and I think we're going to see the upper echelon teams really, really find their way in the Atlantic Division. So I'm probably in the middle on Detroit, but honestly, dude, like this is where I expected this team to be right now.
No, it's fair. And you mentioned they've gotten good goaltending. It shows how good the goaltending is when Ville Husso allows 8 goals in a game and still has a .920 save percentage on the season. So he's off to a great start, except for that one blip against the Rangers. That was a big bounce back game for the Rangers after they lost to Detroit about a week prior. One fan question that we got that's interesting: the Buffalo Sabres falling off a little bit right now.
Yeah.
That game against Boston over the weekend was close. They hit a post that could have tied the game. Then Boston goes the other way and wins the game with some insurance goal. But people are asking, drop Alex Tuck for Kirby Doc. And then the other one is, should I sell high on Rasmus Dahlin? I think they're both fair questions. What are your thoughts on each of those?
Dahlin, definitely, just more so because I don't think just yet, if ever, he's going to be a top 20 fantasy file, like top 50, I think, in his prime is pretty considerable and legitimate, I think, if you ask me. So from that standpoint, the guy was literally scoring every game to start the season. If you're not investigating a sell high, you don't know what you're doing. You know how I feel about Kirby Doc. I just love the player. I was questioning Chicago when they made the move, and he's making them eat it right away. Like that, the chemistry, that top line is starting to form in Montreal with Caulfield and Suzuki and Doc. I think this guy's legitimate. Like, it's easy to forget the guy was pretty much a lottery pick a couple of years ago, right? Lost in the shuffle with some of the injuries, but I think the ceiling is there. And in my opinion, higher for Doc than it is for like an Alex Tuch. So I'd go ahead and do that, Pete. Would you?
Yeah, I think that's the recent trend. I don't know if I would sell high on Rasmus Dahlin because he's just going to be such a big part of their equation. Yeah. But, and I don't think Buffalo is that bad of a team where they're going to go all of a sudden after their hot start to being a bottom 10 team or bottom five team. So I expect them to be competitive for the entire season. So maybe it's a little safer to stick with the category coverage of Alex Tuch, but I mean, I will agree with you that I think that Kirby Doc is the better pickup for the rest of the season in fantasy. Yeah. Looking at the Florida Panthers, they got Aaron Ekblad back over the weekend, but dropped the game to the Edmonton Oilers. Spencer Knight didn't have a great game that time, but he's really been surging. He's at a 922 save percentage. Sergei Bobrovsky, 897. Is this what we've been anticipating for a while? One fan asked, is Spencer Knight the Panthers starter for the rest of the season?
At the very least, I think it's something to monitor, and I had it on my list this week. You look at the body of work, the numbers, since the 3-1 win in the season opener for Bobrovsky, Pete, he's 2-4-1, 3-6-1, 886. Now, not to say that Spencer Knight's been much better. I think Florida is clearly a team that had, you know, visions of coasting during the year, and they're doing that and then some. Again, it is early, but Knight has started 5 of the past 7. So at the very least, I think fantasy owners should be mindful of this. And I think if you own Sergei Bobrovsky, and I've noticed in a couple of my leagues, people are starting to drop him, I would investigate selling high or selling on this guy. Because again, you and I both agree that by season's end, it's very, very likely that Spencer Knight's going to be the number one for the Florida Panthers, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think he's going to be, I think this is the year where he gets the edge on Bobrovsky for game one of the playoffs, something that we thought maybe could have been the case each of the past 2 years. Third time, maybe the charm for the young kid. And then one other goalie note, we've been anticipating the return of Matt Murray. Sounds like it could come on Tuesday against his former team in the Pittsburgh Penguins. Is that a guy that you're picking up? And, you know, because the Leafs have really turned it around quite a bit since, the first couple of weeks of the season. They've been winning games left and right.
Yeah, they do this every year. We've talked about this division. I think I penciled the Leafs in at the very least to make the playoffs. I think there'll be an upper echelon team again, but it's more so what they do in the Stanley Cup playoffs. As for Matt Murray, you could only wonder. The recipe for success is certainly there, but also the recipe for failure potentially on Tuesday night could be there because he's playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I have my extreme doubts. I would tread carefully on Matt Murray. I think there's obviously the potential, but the guy's always injured, Pete. I don't know. I don't have any other way to put it. He gets hurt a lot. And so if you're going to, you know, you're going to put all your confidence in a guy like Matt Murray to win you a fantasy title, I just don't think he's going to be there at the end of the day. So I think at the very least, I'm streaming him right now, but I'm treading very, very carefully, Pete.
So that's a wrap, Nick. I know you got the Action Network show later. What are you looking ahead for this upcoming week?
Yeah, you know, I'm a baseball guy. I'm limbering up in the bullpen right now doing my stretches. I'll be alongside Michael Leboff of the Action Network once again this week. And we're looking at the latest wagering, latest betting in the NHL world, where we're teeing things up for everybody out there. So stay tuned for that in a couple hours from now, Pete.
Definitely looking forward to that. Thanks again to Anna Duo for jumping on. So for Anna and Nick, Pete Jensen saying so long. We'll talk to you again on Thursday for Rankings and Mailbag edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you then.